Alrighty, here we go. This is North Shore Sports Night on a Monday night. I'm Rick Moore, along with Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Poposky, the voice of the North Shore, of course, Bill Newell. And this is a program we've been doing, I'm figuring, 11, 12 years here now, Coach.
2006. That was the...
Yeah, this is 17.
Yeah.
That makes it 11.
Yep. Well, you are the math teacher, so, you know.
Well,
I'm just the historian.
Yeah, I can't add that. That's between us. Okay, we're going to get right to it. Let me, I don't know where my notes are. Hell, here they are. Let's turn the music down here.
You know, I'm really upset. I stop by the Globe. I stop at the little store up the street, grab a Globe so I can have the golf results to talk golf with Gary, and I forgot he's on tonight. The 1 week I come prepared to talk.
I know. That's always the way. Well, tonight we have a very special guest, Tim. Lauren Flynn, who's the captain of the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team and the daughter of Coach Jen Flynn. We'll be talking with us about a fundraiser that she and the volleyball team are sponsoring this week, Thursday night at Hamilton Wenham, 7 o'clock match, Hamilton Wenham and Reading. I think it's Reading? I don't know. I've got it up there somewhere. Let me see. Where
next,
did it go?
Next one. No, next one, yeah.
Well, no, but that doesn't tell me the game. Anyway, it'll be here it is here. Thursday night, Hamilton Wenham. We'll be playing Reading. Okay, it is Reading. So they'll be playing Reading. There's a young girl, I think she's 6 or 7 years old, who is suffering from a very weird, rare disease similar to ALS. And the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team is going to put together a fundraiser for this little girl. Gene therapy may work for the girl. They think it's they're very optimistic that it will. But the cost is prohibitive, and the family of the little girl has raised, I believe, well, we'll let Lauren tell you later on, and we can discuss that later, but they've raised some, and they need a lot more. So we'll talk to the captain of the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team in a little while, Matt Bouchard, the Salem football coach. 7 teams in the Northeastern Conference, 7 high school football teams in our area, are unbeaten after 3 weeks. Now, that's one of the benefits of playing outside this weird schedule instead of playing against each other. 7 teams are at 3-0, and Salem is one of them. We'll also talk with Gavin Monagle. At least we plan to talk with Gavin Monagle. We were going to talk with him last week. Masconomet 2-1, big win this weekend. And we'll talk to Coach Monagle about that and upcoming game as well. They beat Newburyport 35-0. And we'll talk with Steve Krause, the Items sports editor, in a while. But first, as they say, I'm going to put my 2 cents in, okay? My dad was an Iwo Jima survivor, 5th Marine Division, February 1945 on Iwo Jima, and then they later went on over to Japan. My dad, after the Marines, went into the Army, was a first sergeant in artillery, served 3 tours in Vietnam, several tours over in Korea, but not in the Korean War, but he was in combat in Vietnam 3 times. And a career Army man after Marine. He always considered himself to be a Marine, though, Tim. I guess once a Marine, always a Marine. Sort of like Michigan, right? Michigan Blue.
Yeah.
So, and I was in the Army at the same time my dad was in Vietnam. We were both in the Army together. I was in the artillery. I did not have to go to Vietnam, and for that I am very, very thankful. That said, we have seen numerous games over the years. Hundreds of games and maybe even more. And we've seen various renditions of the national anthem and the beginning of every sporting event, which I don't quite understand. I do not know why the national anthem is played before every
I'll tell you that in a minute.
Single sporting event. And at one time it was debated whether or not it should be and what you do. Now, I know flag-raising etiquette, and I know etiquette for the national anthem, and I do it. Because I respect what my dad did, and it's a little thank you to him, his generation, and for all of those who subsequently have served in the armed forces in defense of the country. But my dad said, I remember when he watched the flag burning in the 1960s, Tim, and he was still on active duty at that time. He said, those people are asses, but they have a right to do that. And you know what he said, Tim? He said, that's what we fought for in World War II, for their right to express it. I don't like it. I think they're jerks, is what he said. But they have a right to do that. That's the difference between us and the rest of the world. Okay? I feel that the playing of the national anthem for many, many years lost any meaning because it was played so often at sporting events. Lost some of its meaning anyway. Its symbolism. And now, I think it's being overplayed. And the fact that the President of the United States does not understand the First Amendment, and he uses NASCAR to back him up, is mind-boggling to me. And the fact that you drive a further wedge between people who are on one side or the other, again, is mind-boggling. I don't agree with Southern people who worship the Confederate flag, and then at the same time profess to admire or respect the American flag. I don't like the way people booed the players who knelt yesterday at Foxborough. I don't like it. But hey, they have a right to do it too, okay? And they paid money.
Yep.
So I guess what I'm getting at is here is I wish someone would tell Trump to shut up and read the Constitution before he opens his mouth again. And I will say this. All those who I don't agree with and don't disagree with me, I would hope that if it came to it, we could stand shoulder to shoulder against the common enemy, whatever that might be. Or if a disaster hits like hurricane, I can spend money. I can go down and help. People can go come up here if we get hit by a blizzard or whatever. I hope that that doesn't change things. But it's really upsetting to me that the President of the United States, who professes to be, a media specialist, doesn't understand the First Amendment.
He is, quote unquote, a businessman who has gone bankrupt 5 times. But he's a very successful businessman because, you know, I don't know how. He's not a politician. He's not a student of history.
He didn't serve his country.
He never served. Okay. We know all the derogatory statements he has made towards Democrats, Republican men, women, war heroes like John McCain. All right. And for them voting their conscience, he feels free to come out and to slander like he did Mr. McCain this past weekend after he said, "I'm not voting for this crap," once again. And he has no sense of American history. He plays to his base constantly. He picks these nondescript fights to keep people distracted from the serious issues that are going on. Numero uno, the investigation of him, his White House, his campaign, and all the things associated with the Mueller investigation and how that's coming down. So he's constantly throwing up distractions and rallying his base, going down to Southern Alabama and, you know, rallying NASCAR people, you know, by saying, you know, these players should be fired. Well, who are these players? The majority,
sons of
the
bitches.
Great majority, okay, are African-American.
But it's not a race statement.
But it's not a race statement, okay? They should all be fired. Congress should do their job and fire him. that's the number one job that needs to be done. National anthem came about during World War II when the government decided that it should be played as a patriotic measure during the games. It has not been a long-standing tradition. It had its tradition established while the country was fighting the war.
Well, the Marines were taught when the national anthem is played, you stop, you stand at attention, and you present arms. They were taught wherever you are.
Right.
And that would oftentimes break up barroom fights, by the way. which was, you know, and I ain't messing with no Marines. But I would like to remind us, our audience, and then we got, I think maybe we should go to sports, because... But I would like to remind our audience that the president, the only time, as far as I know, he's ever taken an oath to serve the country was when he put his hand on the Bible, I didn't see that, and swore to serve, protect, and defend the Constitution.
You know what gets me? All these individuals who are rallying against the players around the league, that have taken to protest in this manner. Rail about protecting their Second Amendment right, which they don't even truly understand.
Second Amendment, the gun.
Second Amendment.
Okay.
Okay, you can't take away my gun. Mm-hmm. Okay, but you should be in a militia if you read it correctly.
I know.
Okay? Now, they're all for that, but they all forget the most important one, the First Amendment, the guarantee of rights. Mm-hmm. And one of them is to peacefully publicly protest.
And
this is a peaceful public protest. And we've sort of lost what Colin Kaepernick, mm-hmm. and I was upset when he first did it, but then you begin to think about it. What he was protesting, the flag is merely an image. It represents what the country stands for, what values it has that are enshrined in the Constitution. And what he was expressing was those rights that are guaranteed in the Constitution and represented by the American flag in recent history has been simply waylaid by violent individuals, and it's individuals within police communities that have shot and killed unarmed black men with no repercussion.
And it happened again.
How about the judge who says, I don't find a preponderance of evidence to find this guy guilty, even after they got him recorded on his recorder saying, I'm going to go kill this guy. Mm. And then they find the gun in the car with that police officer's fingerprints and no fingerprints from the guy he shot and killed. And this guy says there's no evidence. That judge himself should be flogged.
All right, we'll see if we get back to that. Right now, we're going to take a break, Tim. And then we're going to bring in Lauren Flynn, who's going to change the whole tenor of tonight. And she's going to talk about an amazing fundraiser that I want people to pay attention to and to support. We'll be right back.
People come in, take a seat. You're really in for a treat at Sylvan Street. A great place to eat and drink and meet with family and friends at Sylvan Street. Treat you right, day or night. Satisfy your appetite. Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Catch a game with friends, meet for lunch, cocktails after work, or a romantic dinner for two. Whatever your plan to do it at Sylvan Street Grill in Peabody and Salisbury. See you at Sylvan Street.
Eat, drink, and chill at the Sylvan Street Grill.
Hi, folks. This is Gerard Moynihan of Moynihan Lumber. Our company has been proud to have supported high school sports on the North Shore for more than 30 years. Our student-athlete program recognizes championship performance in the classroom and on the field. Moynihan Lumber is also committed to championship performance when it comes to meeting all your building and home improvement needs. And if you're planning to change your kitchen, please visit our kitchen cabinet showrooms at any of our three locations. In Beverly, North Reading, or Plaistow, New Hampshire, or at moynihanlumber.com.
Stronger, faster, tougher. When you need the MVP of community banks, look no further than the Institution for Savings, with 14 full-service offices throughout the North Shore. We have MVP rates and an all-star team to serve you. Bank from the ball field with our 24/7 online application apps, internet banking, mobile deposit, and more. Institution for Savings, your winning team. Visit institutionforsavings.com, member FDIC, DIF, equal housing lender. MSONewsSports.com is your connection to North Shore news and sports. Local video and radio interviews, photos, and much more. And a daily local radio newscast on North Shore Today.
All right, we're joined now by Lauren Flynn, who is one of the captains of the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team, off to another terrific start. Lauren, hello.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Doing well. How are you?
Oh, just great. Now, you guys, you've been playing a while for this Hamilton Wenham team, and what are you guys now? It's 7-0.
Yeah, we're 7-0.
So, what's been a highlight so far of this season? What have you guys done to make you feel good so far?
Well, a really big win for us was Masco. They're a very strong team. They've always been a rival of ours, and they had won the first game, and we won the next three, so it was really close, and it was really exciting, and that was really awesome because we lost our senior setter. Like, she graduated, mm-hmm. Riva Ventio, and so it was, like, interesting to see who would step in and be our setter, and we ended up, Jaden Hartley Ward and Alex Petalaro, my teammates, both stepped up, and they've both been able to set for us, and they've just been so great, like, really great asset to our team this year.
Tremendous. Now, you've been with the team for a while, and what's it feel like now to be a captain and as a senior?
I feel like it's going by so fast. Like, I feel like I was just a freshman, and, like, I'm so, like, comfortable with all the people that I'm playing with now, and it just, I'm so used to, like, the patterns of, like, practice and games and our warm-ups and stuff. It just feels so natural now. It's really great, and I really love the people that I've been playing with for the past 4 years.
Well, you remember as a freshman coming in, you know, that you're the young one, you're the new kid on the block, more or less, and there are some kids who are older. And I'm guessing at Hamilton Wenham that the older kids would bring the younger kids along and make them feel good. But now you're in that position. So how do you work with the younger kids, the freshmen, sophomores, and so on?
Well, we obviously separate for practice, so JV and varsity. I mean, we definitely we do a few drills together, which is fun. But, like, you caught me on a good day because today we dressed – it was opposite day. It was our dress-up day. So, for example, like, I wore a button-up and a tie, and, like, we all dressed up. Like, I usually wear, like, dresses and stuff, so I wore, like, boy clothes, and it was really funny. So we got to take pictures with the underclassmen. Like, we sat with them at lunch, and we got to – like, that was a really – today was a good team day because – we all, like, interacted, and it was really funny to see the freshmen, like, step out of their comfort zone and wear stuff that they don't usually wear. So that's
absolutely
nice. Like, yeah, they want to be a part of it. They're really excited, and it's really great to hang out with them today.
It's hard when you come over from eighth grade and you walk into the building, and seniors have been around for a while, and you guys, you own the building. What's it feel like being a senior now? What are you looking forward to this year, you know, besides the volleyball season?
Good question. Well, I'm taking some pretty tough classes, so that's going to be it's going to be interesting to see how those turn out. But I'm going to definitely learn a lot, so I'm looking forward to that because they're hard classes, so there's going to be a lot of discussion, a lot of new stuff that I haven't learned before, which is going to be cool.
Good.
I'm looking forward to the basketball season, too. That will be fun after see how far we can get after making it to the North Final.
You guys have had a tremendous career, and have you started looking at schools yet? And if so, what do you think you might want to do?
I've looked at schools. Really, New England. I really like it up here with the weather and like the people. So I'll probably hang around. I'm really interested in science. So I'm not sure exactly where I'd go in to that field, but I really like chemistry. But I also I like English and I like Spanish too, so it'll be interesting to see where I can incorporate those in a job.
Sounds like you're whole-brained and well-rounded. What's your most challenging course this year?
Oh my God, AP Calculus.
AP Calc, there you go.
It's so, I just had a test today, and it was so bad.
Listen, you're gonna
it was tough.
You're gonna be fine. You're gonna be fine. And when you get into school next year, you won't have to take calculus, or if you do, you'll just absolutely sail through it.
Yeah.
All right, so listen, let's get down to business now. Oh, I know, one other question. I asked you what schools you were looking at. Are there any schools looking at you?
No. It's like with the volleyball process, you really have to take off your winter sport in order to go to those tournaments, and I really wanted to play basketball, so I didn't really get that chance. But
good for you. Good for you. You're going to be fine. You're going to be fine. That sounds great. Listen, now, Coach Flynn sent me a note. That you guys are having a big fundraiser this week. And tell me all about it, Lauren, because it sounds so important.
Yeah, so on one of the first days of school, Mr. Duff, a member of the Ipswich community, came to our school to talk about his daughter, Talia, who is suffering from a rare disease called CMT4J. And he talked about how they have to raise $1 million in order to get her this gene therapy that she needs. Her disease is similar to ALS, and so it would help to stop, like, the disease from, like, continuing in her body. Mm-hmm. And that's, like, really important to her because, I mean, her time is limited. It was really hard for him to say that to us, but we know that she really needs this in order to live. So they've raised $300,000 just from selling shoelaces and just from, like community events like lemonade stands, and I know that they're having like a little gala coming up in October, and that's the only way that they've really been able to raise money. So, I mean, it's really impressive that they've raised that much money in just a year with just those small fundraisers. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if there's anything that like we could do to make a difference, like it's awesome.
All right, so the Hamilton Wenham Reading game match, I guess it is, volleyball match, on Thursday at Hamilton Wenham in the gym will be a fundraiser for Talia. And according to the email, Lauren, it says that you'll just be asking for people to donate. No set money, no set anything like that, but you will be selling the shoelaces.
Yeah. So I think what we're going to do is, like, at entry, just any donation that you feel comfortable with. And then if you want, like, you could buy shoelaces, too. They're $5, and all of the proceeds go straight to the Talia Duff Foundation.
I think that's fantastic. And are your other captains involved with this as well? Maybe you can tell me who they are.
Yeah, Katie Hankin and Cecily Zadie are my other captains. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're definitely helping out, too.
Okay, this is a tremendous enterprise for the team. And, you know, Lauren, I'm sure you see the news and you see what's going on across the country and across the world, and people get all upset and they ask me. I taught math for a long time at Gloucester High School, and they ask me about, don't you think the world is going to hell? And the answer is no, because I talk to people like you, Lauren, and you make me feel safe, and you make me feel like you guys are going to fix this thing.
That's so nice. Thank you.
Well, I mean it. And so what you got to do is you got to have yourself a great senior year. I know your mom's proud of you, and I know you're proud of the team. You got to have a great senior year. You got to raise a lot of money for Talia on Thursday, and keep your eye on the prize. Self-discipline and do great this year.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
All right, Lauren, we'll keep in touch and tell mom to keep sending me the scores after your matches. Sure. And best of luck this season.
Thank you so much.
All right, Lauren, thank you. Take care.
You too.
Okay, bye-bye. That is Lauren Flynn, who is one of the captains of the Hamilton Wenham volleyball team. And, of course, mom, Jen Flynn, is the coach of the team. Generals are 7-0 right now. And, again, tremendous cause coming up on Thursday, September 28th, Cure CMT4J night. CMT4J. We have a link for it on the website. Game will be 7 p.m. versus Reading in the Hamilton Wenham gym. And this is a fundraiser where you're asked to donate whatever you can. Please go. Please visit. Watch a great match. Watch a great game. And at the door, they'll be asking for a donation of anything you're willing to give. Also, they will be selling shoelaces for Talia at $5 a pair. So $5 to help this tremendous cause for Talia. This is MSONewsSports.com. And we are back live now with Masconomet football coach Gavin Monagle. Hey, coach.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good. We're doing great, and so are you. Big win over the weekend against Newburyport. Why don't we start there, Coach, and we'll work backwards.
Yeah, I think the kids played great. I mean, it was a great effort by all the kids. The offense, defense came together real well. I think the defense set the tone early, played real physical football. Newburyport beat us last year, as you probably know, and I know the kids had that in the back of their mind all week. We had a great week of practice, and offensively, things start to flourish a little bit for us. We had some opportunities, and we're going to take care of like almost every opportunity we had.
Mm-hmm.
So it worked out good.
Listen, now, this is your second full year as head coach?
Third.
This is your third? Okay. Well, that goes.
Third, yeah.
Oh, that's right. I forgot Jim didn't coach for a year at Hamilton Wenham. I get so confused. Well, what's different now, Coach? I mean, third year, you've got your program installed. You've been working in the community now. How do you assess where your team is at this particular juncture contrasted maybe to a year or two ago?
Well, these kids, they're great. They're a great group of kids. It is a senior class. We have a lot of senior linemen out there. I mean, that goes a long way in any program. When I came on, they were sophomores and just a great group of kids then. And they were always pushing, the older kids back then to get on the field at times. And some of them did get on. And last year, a lot more of them got on. So we're coming back with a lot of experience up front with the line. We're some good receivers. My son Danny does pretty well there as a receiver. We got Pete Katsakis, who did good as a running back for us last year. He returned. Matt McGon as a center, second year starting there. Damon DeBarro, another lineman. We have three linemen at captains this year, which you don't usually see. And pretty happy about that, because it's and it kind of, it gives, I think it's pretty stabilizing force there, because that is our strength, and we need to be a physical team, and we have to follow those guys, and they're a great group of guys, so they work at this, setting the tone, I think.
Must be something in tone, and must be something in the Cape Ann League, Gavin, because went over to Ipswich, and I think three of their captains are linemen. Went over to Hamilton, Wenham. They've got a couple. I think two of their three captains are linemen. So looks like you got a pretty smart group of guys up front, huh?
Yeah, it is. It's a good thing. It's a very good thing. So they're super kids too. Yeah, they're super.
Absolutely.
They like football. This whole group, they just like football, which goes a long, long way. So you know, when you're working hard, you know that it's fine with them. They just want, you know, to get the most out of themselves. They're a super group to work with.
You know, the advantage of having linemen as your captains is there's a lot of beef behind the words of encouragement that they speak.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Those other guys aren't running where they're supposed to. They're going to hear it.
Oh, my
We're
word.
We're working hard.
Coach, you got one? Oh, I was just going to ask you, the league is shaping up. Cape Ann League is shaping up with you guys. Of course, Linfield always on top up there. And Hamilton, Wenham, you're all battling for the top. I know you're in different divisions and so on. But how do you take a look at the league?
Oh, the league's great. I mean, I think it's going to be competitive again. Yeah, you know, we're also looking at Triton, North Reading, and Pawtucket in our league. And you know, we start with Pawtucket now, and then we're off a week. We go in non-league with Peabody, and then we jump back with North Reading and Triton. So that's what we're really looking and focusing on there. And each one of them. You know, we've had some dog fights with each one in the past 2 years. I think I'm 1-on-1 with both of those schools the past 2 years. Sorry, all three of those schools the past 2 years. Mm-hmm. So, we just have to really come together and play well against those teams. And Hamilton, Wenham, and Linfield, they're two strong programs. And, you know, I'm not sure when that game's going to be, but they look like the class of that division.
Coach, what is your take on this whole, you know, realignment, the dividing up of leagues into various divisions? What's your sense on all this?
I'm not a big fan of it, honestly. I really don't like it. I don't like the system. I don't like eight divisions. I think it's eight divisions, right?
Yeah.
I don't really like that. I think it waters things down way too much. You know, eight teams make it in every section, right? Every section of every division make it. And honestly, it's tough. If you're the number eight, you know, your next three games are going to be against the top teams. If you're the number nine, you know, you get a break, you know. Depends on how you look at it. But, you know, I don't know. I think I prefer maybe to take the top four teams type of thing. I think that would be more relevant, you know. And there's got to be a better way, put it that way. I just don't. Top eight teams is that's, you know, I just see some teams get in, you know, losing records.
Yep.
Some teams get in with one win, you know. I don't like. I've been on both sides of it too. My first year, we didn't make it, but then we got moved into like a higher division in the playoffs, and we were like, you don't know who you're playing. Literally, we didn't know a couple times who we were playing until Monday afternoon,
yep.
And I thought that was just really, really difficult for a lot of kids.
Coach,
coaches. I mean, we're doubling up on the films over the weekend, and we can find out. I didn't like it at all.
Well, we're going to revisit that with you later on during the season for sure to see how the prep goes, the preparation goes. Gavin, final question for me is tell me about your passing combination, because you mentioned how the kids have been with you for a while. They know the system. Tell me a little bit about your quarterback and your receivers and how they work together.
Well, Matt Brockerman's done a great job. You know, he came on this year. He's a senior. He's starting this year. You know, we were a very strong passing team last year, and you know, we kind of picked up a little bit when we left off. We became more of a run team, but as the past couple of weeks, we've been able to throw a little bit more. A lot of it came with the success of the running game, though. You know, obviously, we got about, you know, I mentioned Danny and Pete, who were two of the top receivers back from last year. I think Brocklin was, I think it was 12 for 14 or 10 for 12 the other night.
Yep.
With like 198 yards passing. Very efficient, you know, just efficient, you know, he's just getting the ball when we need to get it. He's reading what he needs to read, and we go back and we run a little bit. And so I think that combination's been very strong. Colby Jakes, he's been injured a little bit. He was a strong receiver for us last year. He was with us the first game, then he got hurt a little bit. He came back a little bit last game. But we expect him to kind of be more healthy as the year goes on. He's also a safety for us. So those kids are the meat of it. Vic Mangino is a junior. He's come on strong as a tight end. Him and Luke Perry are tight ends. We go a lot of double tight stuff, and those kids have to block and catch the ball. So those are a couple of the kids right out of the gate who are pretty strong for us.
Okay, Coach, Pentucket on the docket for this weekend. They can lay hurts on people. What do you expect from them?
Well, you know, as I told the kids, the last two times we played them at home the past 4 years, they won. So, you know, they have a great history up there. Coach Hayden does a super job with them for years. I mean, it's just not an overnight thing at all with them. So every year I've ever seen them, they're always prepared. I've seen them with, you know, some teams that are more talented than others. When they're talented, they're really difficult to beat. But even when they're not the highest level, they still, they're very disciplined. They don't make mistakes on defense. You know, you can't get behind them really defensively. And they tackle and they block. They block and they tackle. They run their offense. They run the swing tee great, very efficiently. They take up time. They get their first downs. And if they have to punt it, they'll punt it and play defense. But they're very, very disciplined.
Well, Coach, I just have one request, and that's somehow you and Gloucester have got to get back together, because when we did those games back in, 10 years ago, whatever it was, 9, 8, 7, those were some of the best football games I've ever seen between you two, those two schools.
I'd say on the North Shore, those were awesome. Some physical games, those were. They really were. And those were super Gloucester teams, and we were running high at the time.
Absolutely.
Too, so I think that was awesome.
All right, Coach. Listen, thanks for taking the time, Gavin. We're going to catch up with you later on in the season, if that's okay with you.
Oh, great. Anytime. Love talking to you guys.
Thanks, Coach.
Enjoy.
Good luck.
Have a good week.
Take care.
All right, Coach.
Thank you.
Coach Gavin Monagle at Masconomet, very successful coach up there, and great program at Masco.
Oh, yeah, traditionally, yeah.
All sports. Big school.
Yeah, well, you know, I was just thinking about that. You know, Masco's a regional. Pentucket's a regional.
Mm-hmm.
Triton's a regional school. Hamilton Wenham is a mm-hmm. regional school. And if you think about regional, they got thousands of kids to choose from. They really don't. Because they're all really small,
very small communities,
residential communities that they draw from, and so if you look at their overall population, it's not all that big. It's like a Swampscott High School, or on some parts it's even a Winthrop High School with the total populations that they get to draw from, in terms of athletes, both male and female. From the surrounding area.
What would you think, and I think, I don't know if you heard when we mentioned it before, but I have heard, I think you were, what would you think about a co-op school, because the numbers are so low now with Gloucester, but how about Gloucester, Rockport, Manchester, and Essex as a co-op school in football?
Ooh.
Yeah, ooh. All the athletes, man, wouldn't that be something, huh?
Yeah,
they'd have to push them up to some higher league, I would think.
Well, in football, some of the Manchester kids come over there, and and throw some of those.
Coach Hutton, get him together with Coach. A really good grief.
Some of the put some of those Rockport baseball players, Manchester Essex baseball
mm-hmm,
players
mm-hmm.
on. Oh yeah,
and
yeah,
I still,
yeah, yeah,
yeah. I still have a fantasy for a Super Cape Ann league.
Track and field, tennis. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'd be outrageous.
Now we can dream.
It'd be extremely competitive for kids to get on the team.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's
on
right.
On almost all the teams.
All right, still to come, we're going to talk with Salem's Matt Bouchard, the Salem football team, off to a 3-0 start, and we'll check in with Steve Krause. So why don't we take a break? We'll come back and see what's happening. We'll be back. You're listening to MSO News Sports. This is North Shore Sports Night.
Ever wish that help with your business was as nearby as your next-door neighbor? At Cape Ann Savings Bank, we're the folks who have helped our neighbors build prosperous communities since 1846. And we invite you to give us a call, discuss your vision, and learn how we can help you grow your business. We're here for you. You have questions. We have answers. Just give us a call, 888-283-CASB, or visit CapeAnnSavingsBank.com. Member FDIC, DIF, Equal Housing Lender.
Gloucester's Walter Wilkins Insurance Agency is teaming up with Columbia Insurance to deliver a full line of products, personal home and auto policies, as well as a full line of commercial coverage for business owners, including commercial property and commercial vehicle coverage. Wilkins partners with respected companies such as Plymouth Rock, Quincy Mutual, Commerce, and Safeco. For City of Gloucester employees, there are discounts on auto and home policies. Wilkins Insurance is located at 186 Main Street, Gloucester, now partnering with Columbia Insurance, serving the North Shore.
All right, coming back now. One of seven unbeaten Northeast Conference teams going into week number four is Salem High School, and we welcome back Matt Bouchard. Coach, how you doing?
Great, great. Thanks for having me.
Well, you did it again, and let's start right there with last weekend's game, 22-19 over Saugus. Tell me about it.
It was certainly a tale of two halves. I really, going into that game, one of the things that we've had a tough time is just kind of starting off on the right foot and really coming out and being explosive. And this week we certainly did that. I was just really proud of guys kind of having the right mindset and really kind of first series, whether it be offensive, defense, really playing hard, really controlling the line of scrimmage. So it was good. I mean, we went into half. I felt, you know, we were in a very good position. And then coming out the second half, credit to Saugus, you know, they came out and they really kind of, you know, took it to us in the second half and put us in a very difficult situation, but I think it was a very important lesson for our team. You know, if we really want to be successful down the stretch, you know, we're going to have to deal with adverse situations, and they put us under a number of difficult situations. And but at the end of the day, the guys responded. You know, when those major events were happening, you know, if they wanted to come out and be successful, they really had to kind of step up. And in the fourth quarter, they were able to do that. So I'm really proud of, again, the character that we saw in the fourth and the explosiveness that we saw in the first half.
Coach, was there a key point in that defense in the second half that might have been either a turning point or a real important part of the game?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a you know, I would say most of the second half, our defense played really, really strong. The score doesn't necessarily indicate that. I think our offense actually put our defense in a tough situation. We really gave them short fields. And but in the fourth quarter, there was two possessions where, you know, we pretty much got them off the field and really put it on our offense to kind of finish the game. And unfortunately, there were a couple points in there where we didn't, and really put it back on the defense. But each time we did that, you know, the defensive group responded. And the type of response is kind of what you're looking for from a winning football team. The defense had no problem marching on the field. They had the heads up, excited about the opportunity to go play defense again.
Wow, so, excellent.
It's the attitude right now is, you know, exactly where we need it to be, especially going into this week.
Coach, what were some of the things that the kids were saying in the aftermath of that game as they as time wound down and you guys secured the victory? What were they talking like?
That's actually a really good, great question. I think it, to me, it was one of the things that, you know, throughout my coaching career, you see a shift in how a team views a win, right? So in the past, especially over the last few years, when that victory comes, it's a hard-fought thing, and regardless if it's win by 1 point or win by X number of points, you know, the kids have always been really excited because it was a hard thing to come by, you know, for a number of years. And now we're at a point where after that game, you know, guys were excited. You know, you got to cherish every time you win a football game. But, you know, all of them, especially the leadership, was really kind of talking to guys, whether it be back to the bus, back to the locker room, about the things that we need to do to kind of really clean that up going into the following week. So I didn't have to say much when it came to that. I think, again, the leadership on the football team really kind of showed how much they've grown the last few years.
Winning 35-0 is easy. Winning 21-19 is a whole lot harder.
Without question. It's a like I said, it's a type of character building kind of game that we're certainly going to need kind of going into this week.
Coach, before we get to this week, which looks to be a huge one, two highest scoring teams in the NEC coming up, or at least in your division. I'm just checking to see if Marblehead might have scored more. No, they haven't. But tell me, a question I like to ask coaches from time to time is, when kids go into a season or get onto a team or try out for a team, they've got in their mind where they're going to play. They're going to be a quarterback. They're going to be a middle linebacker. They're going to be whatever. Is there a kid or two this season that maybe was slotted for one position, but you as a staff decided, okay, you're better off here, and he's really thriving?
Yeah, I mean, I think a great example of that is Chris Negrombie. Chris Negrombie was kind of in between a fullback body type and a tailback body type for us, and you know, we really wanted to get him on the field as much as possible this year. And he's been basically playing at the fullback spot for us, and it's just done an outstanding job. Really kind of latched onto it, and you know, because of the type of kid he is and how hard he's working, we always, you know, the offensive staff is always finding strategic ways for him to get the ball. But I think for me, it was a kid that said, "Coach, no problem. You know, this is what we need to do to be successful." And he's really taken to it and has done just a great job at it.
That's great.
Coach, you going to try to kidnap Frary sometime during the week to slow the Swampscott offense down?
At the end of the day, I think one of the things that, you know, the last couple of years just watching that program develop, they've really kind of, you know, they took their lumps by starting a lot of younger guys over the last few years. You know, those guys are now, you know, really coming in their own. I think every phase of their game is solid right now. There's very few breakdowns, and but I think with that said, I think from a preparation standpoint, when you turn on the film and you have, you know, 15, 16, 17-year-old kids, when they see that on film, it's very clear that, you know, it's a good football team. So the level of preparation and how they're approaching this week is exactly what we're looking for right now. And, you know, from a motivation perspective, like I said, when you turn that film on, you know, all the motivation they need is right there on tape.
And it's great to be in this kind of a position, isn't it, Coach, after 3 weeks to be facing a school like this for supremacy, if you will?
Yeah, I mean, you can't ask for anything more. I mean, I think that one of the things I talked about with the kids is this is why you sign up to play, right? This is the type of situation you want. You know, it's a great regional game. It's a conference game that, you know, I think we started, the rivalry we started in the 1910, somewhere around 15 or 14. You know, so the rivalry between Salem and Swampscott is one that's been out there for a very, very long time. And, you know, in the short time that I've been the head coach here, it's always been, you know, a great matchup. And I think you can't ask for anything more, especially when it comes to high school football.
That's great. Well, have a great week of practice, Matt, and congratulations to you and the Witches on a terrific start. It's great, and good luck this weekend.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Take care, Coach.
Thanks, Coach.
All right.
That is Salem coach Matt Bouchard, and big one this weekend. Swampscott just racking up the points and just demolishing people. You've seen him, right? Didn't you see him?
No, I haven't.
No, you haven't seen him. Okay.
Frary is slinging it a la probably about 6-7 years ago under Steve Dombrowski when they had that spread offense going. And he had a series of like 4 or 5 years where he had one senior quarterback after another just coming through the pipeline. And it's like, where are these kids coming from? You know. And he had a couple of running backs. He had a couple of receivers. And it was like, my good God. I mean, they just ran that spread, and that slant over the middle was just such a deadly weapon. The quarterback was so accurate. The receivers had such great hands. And it was, if you didn't get a tackle on those guys right away, it was Dixie Katie by the door, and they were gone, you know. And it made for some lively football. I know it drove a lot of coaches in the conference crazy the way they used to heave it around.
Okay, before we go to Steve Krause, Tim, reflection on Lauren Flynn. Wasn't she a delight to listen to?
Oh gosh, she was so energetic and positive about the team, and for a youngster to find a cause to rally the community and her teammates behind. You know, we talked about it off the air. The parents trying to raise $1 million to try to save their daughter's life so she can get the treatment necessary. That you know, it's a rare disease. If a parent's not be able to raise that money, it's a death sentence. You know, and she talked about the father coming in and mentioning basically, in a way, that was what his young daughter was facing, and you know, it just reflects back on this crazy healthcare battle that we've been engaged in, where people can't get coverage, and being denied coverage, you know, for her parents to try to get an insurance policy, that's a pre-existing condition. She can't get coverage under all these other plans that are being offered. That's criminal. It's criminal with a society that is as wealthy as ours. And that, but this is what it takes. It takes these individuals to note the needs of another. Yeah. Like you said, it knows. I mean, she doesn't know them, but the father said, "Hey," and she said, "We can do something."
Right.
She took the bull by the horn and said, "We'll do something to help contribute to make something happen, to hopefully make this happen for you." You know.
And I meant it when I said we're in good hands. Kids like Lauren, and we talk to them all the time, Tim. They're going to fix it. They're going to get this thing fixed, no matter what side of the aisle they're on. All right, we do need to take a break. We'll come back, fingers crossed, talk with Steve Kraus, the sports editor of the Daily Item, talk some sports with him, see what's on his plate, and we'll go from there.
Fact is, including the commute, people spend 10 hours a day at work. No wonder they're forced to buy car insurance in 15 minutes. They just don't have time to go meet with someone. Well, Columbia Insurance has an alternative. The insurance professionals at Columbia Insurance Agency will meet with you at your workplace. Even better, we'll go to the registry and bring your plates back to you at work, free of charge. At Columbia Insurance Agency, we come to you, and we really do. Visit ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net and set up an appointment today. That's ColumbiaInsuranceAgency.net.
Compelling exhibits, thought-provoking programs, all celebrating Lynn's past while promoting a vision for its future. I'm Drew Russo, Executive Director of the Lynn Museum and Lynn Arts, and I invite you to visit our campus located in the heart of the downtown Lynn Cultural District with galleries at 590 Washington Street and 25 Exchange Street. Currently, we are featuring the Vision Place of Souls, Civil War landscapes by local artist Jeff Fioravanti through December 22nd at the museum, and rotating shows from local artists in the Lynn Arts Gallery. We're open Tuesdays to Fridays 10 to 4 and Saturdays 9 to 1. Visit us online at lynnmuseum.org.
The Porthole Restaurant is a North Shore dining tradition. Enjoy waterfront dining in a casual atmosphere. The Porthole features outstanding quality, quantity, and price. Known for a full variety of menu selections, you must try the award-winning clam chowder. Fresh off the boat seafood, lobsters, prime rib, steaks and chops, daily luncheon and dinner specials. They feature spacious and well-appointed function rooms. The Porthole, a great value, a great dining experience. Open for lunch and dinner 7 days a week on the water on the Linnway in Lynn. The following is a paid political announcement from Lynn City Councilor-at-Large, Brian LaPierre.
Since I have been elected, we have made progress. The city is growing, but there is much work to still do. Small businesses are flourishing, we've created local jobs, and continue to fight for working families all across Lynn. I have responded personally to over 1,000 constituent requests, but the work doesn't stop there. We need to keep our streets safer and our neighborhoods cleaner. We have to maintain our public services while keeping taxes affordable. The people of Lynn deserve a high level of representation. I am Brian LaPierre, and I'm running for re-election for Lynn City Councilor at Large, and I respectfully ask for one of your four votes on Tuesday, November 7th.
Okay, we're here now with Steve Kraus, the sports editor for the Daily Item. Steve, a lot of things to cover in the world of sports, but let's keep it local to start with. The Lynn teams, all of them are simply flying.
Yeah, how about that, huh? Four teams, 12-0, and then Kip, which, you know, even Kip, you know, they've played some good games. They're 1-2, but they've done well, and, of course, the other ones have just been buzzing right along. Very embarrassment of riches almost. So this week, a couple of these teams going to have real tests.
Yeah, certainly, you know, the conditions on Friday night created created a scenario for not the best football, but good teams under those situations find a way to win.
Well, I also think, too, that, you know, these teams, you know, classical and English particularly, maybe not so much Tech, I think they had expectations of being good this year. But teams like Classical and English, you know, they're still relatively young. Both have junior quarterbacks, and they're just both, all through and through. There's underclassmen in key positions. You know, you get a couple of easy games, like the two easy games Classical had the first 2 weeks of the season. And all of a sudden, you might tend to think that, you don't have to show up against a team like Revere that's 0-2 until you realize that the 0-2 is against Gloucester and Marblehead. So it's not as if these teams are losing to patsies. You know, they were losing to very good football teams. And, Revere, they might have lost a game, but they probably came in feeling a little bit better about themselves than you would have thought. And when you put the weather along with everything else, you got a recipe for a real struggle, if not an upset. And the same held with the English-North Reading game that came in the second game that night.
Yeah, now certainly one thing that I noticed in the first few weeks, Steve, is that both Classical and English are not making the game-killing mistakes that they've made over the past few years.
No, they're not. Brian Vaughn has done a very good job instilling a little discipline in that Classical team, and he always kind of got the feeling Chris Carroll was going to figure it out at English. He just seemed to have that kind of personality in mind, that he'd get it and he'd be able to translate it. He's in his third year now. His system is taking hold, and I have to say that I couldn't be happier for either of them. They're both good guys, and they both deserve this. And so does James Runner. I mean, James Runner at Tech, very, very good guy, and he's worked awfully hard. And if this is going to be his year, too, God love him. We could have three. We could have three teams, playing deep into the postseason, which would be a heck of a lot of fun for us.
It certainly would. Red Sox, Cardiac Kids, Shades of 67, all these late inning, extra inning comebacks and wins. It's driving people crazy. I wrote them off. I wrote them off the other night. And all of a sudden it's 5-4 they win. I said, where did that come from?
They're going to have to do it again tonight, apparently, too, because they're losing 5-2 in the third inning to Toronto.
Yeah, but 5-2. Okay, they're in range. They can pull this out. It's still early. Yeah. Mookie's going to get three or four more at bats.
Yeah, the Jays scored four runs in the top of the second off of the pomegranate, as I like to call them.
This was what was talked about a couple of years back when the Red Sox couldn't get out of the first inning some of their pitches without giving up runs. They need to start in like the second or third inning and then play the first and second at the end of the game. My God.
You remember my sister, she always says that the Red Sox should start their relief pitches and then finish with their starting pitches.
why not? Sister Odella would be rolling around somewhere.
Yesterday, of course, I'm fuming because it's very late in both games. Both teams are losing. And I go shut off and have dinner and then come back and they're both winning. So, it's just one of those kinds of days. You can't do that every day, though.
No, you really can't. And unfortunately, the level of expectation of the fans who don't realize that, as soon as they don't come back and have a win, either of them, they'll be all over. They're the worst team ever. They can't win. It's what have you done for me lately?
You have this theory that the more ridiculous it gets, like when you have one of those kind of rallies, it just doesn't seem probable. Mookie Betts scoring from second base on a
infield
ball that doesn't even reach the infield dirt. Now you're saying to yourself, all right, this is about as silly as it gets. This is it. They're going no farther if they can't jump out to a lead, because there's only so much luck you have in you.
Well, that was such a great hustle play, because when I watched the replay, I specifically watched Mookie, and when the ball was hit, he was at full speed within three steps, and you knew that just watching him go between second and third, he was going to make an attempt, and then the throw was wide and low, and that gave them that ability, you know, to and the time to get down the baseline and slide in safely. What an incredible hustle play. If the throw had been good, he'd have been up by 30 feet, and we'd all be chastising him for being stupid.
Yeah, he's a good athlete, and the one thing about him is that, you know, all year long people have been complaining about him for not having the year that he had last year, but I'll bet you at the end of the season when you go back and compare his statistics, they're not going to be that far off, and he'd saved the best part of his year for now, which is kind of what you want anyway, so I think that Mookie's done quite well.
Oh, my God, yes. You can't criticize any of those young guys.
We're getting late, boys. I have to ask you guys one question on the Patriots. I watched, I listened to what I like to, what Shaughnessy calls Nitwit Radio, and last night, after the game, one of the commentators in the post game on radio was saying, well, Brady didn't have that good of a game. And I almost drove the car off the road because you got a guy who throws five touchdown passes, quarterback rating of almost 150, 25 out of 35, and a commentator said, well, he didn't have that good of a game. And I wondered, Steve, how do you become so tainted? Watching jaded. Pro sports, jaded.
You know, jaded.
You dumb,
don't you?
Yeah. Well, okay. I mean, we've been watching sports for 100 years, but for God's sakes, what a performance!
Oh, yeah. And besides which, you know, people just don't understand that. You know, you can have a great game in the first half and then totally stink it up in the second half when your team needs you to do well, or you can start slow and finish with the type of a fourth quarter Brady had when the team needed him to do that. And, I mean, I'm sure that if you took Brady's statistics last year in a Super Bowl for the first couple of quarters, they weren't tremendous. But does anybody remember that now? Of course not.
Yeah.
All they remember is the end.
You know, he opens the game with a touchdown. He closes the game with a touchdown. And in between, he throws three more touchdown passes, all while being sacked five times, harassed constantly because the offensive line is going against probably one of the best defensive lines and linebackers in the game today. And if they managed to give him enough time to throw five touchdown passes, you know, his receivers made the catches when they had to. And still, it's just not good enough for some people.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
I just don't...
Yeah, people are spoiled around here and...
But imagine,
you know,
everybody
thinks they can do better.
Think when we were growing up in the 60s, and you may have even been at the breakfast at O'Callaghan School for the breakfast where they had a bunch of the New England Patriots there. Bob D, Houston Antoine were there up on the stage.
Earthquake
and
Hunt.
And we got to ask them questions. And I'm thinking, these guys were awful back then. And how much we suffered through the, you know, through the 60s into the 70s was in a cave. There was like a blip of good years. And then 80s, some mediocrity. 90s, some mediocrity. And then we started this rise. And it's just been this continuous rise. And it's just been so high now. It's like, you know, we are football snobs where we would never even hold our heads up at all. Saying, yeah, we got a football team. No, now we're football stars. We walk around with our noses up in the air at people from around the country.
Well, we're baseball snobs too, so we don't. At least we don't limit it to one sport.
know? I know, it's great, isn't it? I love it.
Yeah, we still have more basketball championships than anybody else.
There you go.
You know,
Steve, we got to go. We got to get you one earlier.
If we want to feel inferior, we just start talking about the Bruins.
let's save that for a few weeks down the road.
But we still had Bobby Orr.
That's right.
Right.
All right, Steve. All right. We'll catch you earlier next time. Thanks, brother. We'll talk to you later.
No problem.
Take care, Steve.
Bye.
Thanks, Steve.
Steve Krause, the Daily Item Sports Editor. But I didn't have a good game. what? Oh my! But I wanted to mention this to Steve and you, though. I like the positive stuff, Tim. We talked about it last week when some of these idiots call. I heard it today. They suck. They suck. You know, it's like, come on. They're.
Go be a Miami Dolphins fan.
Really?
You know?
All right, Coach. Lots of games coming up this weekend. We'll have two. We'll have one game on Thursday night, Beverly at Marblehead, and then we got a couple more on Friday, and I don't know if we have any on Saturday. We'll have to check the schedule.
And we will be introducing a new voice.
Okay.
On MSO's football coverage this week to Gloucester to Gloucester people. He will be a familiar voice, a conference all-star with under Coach Paul Ingram. He went and played football at Bates.
Okay. That's a hint. And his father is coaching right now.
Yes.
All right, that's it. Tim Kearns, our producer and engineer, Bill Proposky, Bill Newell, the voice of the North Shore. I'm Rick Moore. Bye-bye.